This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Iceberg to Go, your daily dose of Pittsburgh Penguins news and analysis. You can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins or anywhere you get your podcast from. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about Penguins locker room cleanout and what I found to be one of the more interesting stories coming out of cleanout revolving around Pittsburgh Penguins defenseman Chris Letang. But before we do that, a quick call to action. If you had not seen yesterday's episode, we are doing a Jaromir Jagr bobblehead giveaway. Pretty simple to enter. All you have to do is subscribe to us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins. Screenshot that proof of your subscription and post it under the pinned tweet at Iceberg Podcast on Twitter. If you want to do a bonus entry, you can leave a 5-star review on whether it's Apple or Spotify at Tip of the Iceberg. Same thing, screenshot that. Posted under the pinned tweet on Iceberg Podcast on Twitter, and then the winner will be selected on April 30th on our live stream that we do every single Tuesday here on the Inside the Penguins YouTube channel. So get in on your chance to win one of the infamous, I think that's the right word to use, Jaromir Jagr bobbleheads. But let's get into what we're talking about today, which is the Pittsburgh Penguins locker room cleanout. A lot of interesting stories. As you saw on our YouTube channel, Sidney Crosby addresses his future, not just with the Pittsburgh Penguins, but his future as far as his playing days are concerned, and that he wants to take it year by year. Lars Eller kind of called the team out a little bit, saying he didn't recognize the team around the Jake Guentzel trade, that they just were so far from their capabilities that he didn't recognize them. And I thought that was interesting as well. But one of the most tangible things that we learned was that Chris Letang had been dealing with, as Mike Sullivan put it, a myriad of injuries down the stretch, hence all the maintenance days, hence the fact that Letang missed a handful of practices over the final 3 weeks. But let's talk about Letang just in general for a second. He had a very unique season, right? He was tasked with a new role the second he stepped foot into training camp because of the acquisition of Erik Karlsson. He was asked to play more penalty kill time, less power play time. He was asked to play a more defense first role when his entire career has been that kind of shoot from the hip, gunslinger type of role for the Penguins on the back end. Now, is he a better defender than Karlsson? Yes. Was that an outrageous thing for the Penguins to ask him to do? No. And in fact, he played it pretty well. I mean, add on the fact that he had to adjust to new faces, Ryan Graves at the beginning of the season, because of the departure of his longtime line mate in Brian Dumoulin. He started off really well. He was playing some of the best defensive hockey, and a lot of people had mentioned this. And I thought that I agreed based on what I saw. He was playing some of the best defensive hockey we have ever seen from Chris Letang, despite being staple to Ryan Graves, because Graves got off to a slow start, and that slow start just merged into a slow season for Ryan Graves. And he spent the first portion of it, at least the first, I believe, 20% of the season was Chris Letang and Ryan Graves before they decided to switch things up in the Penguins' top four on the blue line. But the point is, when you look at the end of his season, he started to falter late. He took more risks. He had more turnovers in the defensive zone. He was just less stable in the defensive zone in general, right? And part of that could be who he was playing with. He was matched with P.O. Joseph for the last, again, 20% of the season probably. And in that middle 20%, it was some time with Carlson, a lot of time with Marcus Pedersen as they tried to get Carlson and Graves on the same page. But you look at Chris Letang playing with a guy like P.O. Joseph, who for the majority of this season was on the outs. He was struggling to find his way into the lineup. He was dealing with a couple of injuries, but he was fully immersed in a sophomore slump. And he comes out of that and goes straight to the top pairing. That's not a recipe for success for anybody. So I don't fully blame P.O. Joseph, but as you've seen, and as we all saw, that's where the Penguins were at with their blue line. They were struggling. Ryan Graves was struggling to get his footing underneath him, and then he got injured, so he missed the last portion of the season. And you had Joseph paired with Chris Letang on the top pairing. When you look at Letang's numbers with certain defensive partners, and this is a minimum of 100 minutes of time on ice together via moneypuck.com, it's pretty simple. The better player he was playing with, the better the numbers were. And it was drastic, too. It wasn't just, oh, when he's playing with Erik Karlsson, his numbers are going to be a little bit better. When he's playing with Marcus Pedersen, his numbers are going to take a little bit of a bump. It was a drastic bump. You look at what he was able to do with Erik Karlsson on the ice. The two combined for 63% of the expected goals for when on the ice together and 72% of the actual goals scored. You don't think of a lot of defense when those two are on the ice together. And in fact, you think of a lot of turnovers, but they created offense and they created more offense than they allowed. So it was successful in that aspect. Is that a group that I would keep together for a long haul or for a long stretch of the season? No, but there's a lot of success when there's talent on the opposite side of him. With Marcus Pedersen, 52% of the expected goals, 57% of the actual goals. Graves, it takes another little dip, 50% of the expected goals and 54% of the actual goals. But then you look at what he did with P.O. Joseph, 41% of the expected goals with Joseph on the ice, and 47% of the actual goals. So those numbers just steadily decline. And that tells you one thing. The Penguins need a more reliable defender to go in the top four.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit, the technology platform that brings financial confidence with products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. You might have learned the recorder in school, but probably not how to navigate the financial world. Luckily, Intuit's on a mission to help with the free Intuit for Education program. It provides students with the lessons to learn essential skills, like how to build credit, file taxes, and budget. Check out their free resources at intuit.com/education.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Now, you might have already come to that assumption, and I think that most people have, but you look at what P.O. Joseph did in the latter half. Yeah, it's commendable. The Penguins needed him to step up, needed him to eat those minutes, and needed him to not be an unmitigated disaster, and he wasn't. But let's not act like he wasn't in the middle of a sophomore slump and played like it through the entire season. The Penguins need somebody a little bit more reliable up there for Chris Letang, and it's not going to be Ryan Graves, right? Their hope, at least outwardly to this point, has been they hope Ryan Graves comes back in year two, and after one rough year with the Penguins, he gets his feet underneath him, and he starts to become that player that he was at the tail end of New Jersey and especially at the tail end of his time in Colorado. I just don't see him fitting well with either of the top two guys on the right side. I don't see his game meshing well with a Chris Letang or an Erik Karlsson. I know it's going to be hard to move that contract, and maybe they don't even try to. Who knows? But if they do try to move that contract, it's not going to be an easy one. But if you keep him here, you have Marcus Pedersen on the left side, which, thank goodness for that. Pedersen had a career year in 2023-24, and if it wasn't for that, this defense might not have had very many redeeming qualities. First half, Letang, and full season, Pedersen, and Ryan Shea and Jack St. Ivany over the last 3 weeks. That's the best defensive hockey you got, right? That's the best of the best that you got, and you need more, especially with a goaltending position that is going to be closely watched over this offseason because of the way that it performed over the final few months of the season, discrediting some of the battling that Alex Nedeljkovic was able to do. But then you talk about the fact that he was injured. And does that excuse the performance? No. Does it explain the performance a little bit more? It does. I mean, this is what Mike Sullivan had to say on Chris Letang's injury. He couldn't give more information. And by the time you're listening to this, Kyle Dubas will have already spoken to the media. So maybe there's more information on Chris Letang's injuries and whether or not he needs surgery this offseason. But this is what Sullivan had to say yesterday at locker room cleanout. Quote, Tanger was dealing with a myriad of injuries for a long time. He's a warrior. There's no other way to put it. Some of the things he was dealing with down the stretch and continued to play through to try to help us get to where we wanted to go. And that was a big reason he wasn't practicing. I get it. When you look at this defense down the stretch, it was already kind of a precarious group of six. You were very fortunate to get the performance out of Ryan Shea and Jack St. Ivany that you did. Those two didn't allow a single goal at 5-on-5 up until the very last game of the season. So their first 12 games, or 9 games together, excuse me, it was 12 games that St. Ivany had played, but 9 games with Ryan Shea, they hadn't given up a goal at 5-on-5. You're thankful for that. But if you lose Chris Letang at the top of that lineup, especially when every game meant so much, right? I mean, you look at the fact that they went 8-1-3 before they were officially eliminated from playoff contention. One regulation loss ended up being their downfall. If you would have missed 2 games of Chris Letang, where does that leave your defense, right? You have probably Pettersson, Carlson as your top pairing. You probably move up Ryan Shea and Jack St. Ivany and just throw them into the deep end, give them second pairing minutes, and then you probably drop P.O. Joseph down to the third pairing and throw in John Ludvig. That pairing doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. Yeah, Ludvig, his fists, his physicality, it's nice to get in the lineup, but him and Joseph, as far as playing the actual position of defense, doesn't inspire too much confidence, especially considering what we saw from those two throughout the season. So, yeah, he's a warrior. He stayed in the lineup and, you know, certain days he played pretty well. There were some games where he was huge on the offensive side of the puck. Some goals that he scored that were huge for the Pittsburgh Penguins. He finished with playing all 82 games for only the second time in his career, despite dealing with not one, but apparently several injuries. It's commendable. But that matched with who he was playing with. The optics weren't good. And the optics entering the offseason are that you desperately need somebody for Chris Letang. If you're going to keep Pettersson and Carlson together, you desperately need somebody for Chris Letang because he struggled down the stretch here. And I've seen a lot of people saying that he stepped up just as much as the other three in the core did. I don't agree. I think that when you look at what is expected of Chris Letang, he didn't step up as much as those other guys. Did he elevate his game a little bit? Maybe. But I think overall, when you look at that pairing of Letang and P.O. Joseph, it's not something that you can trust moving forward. Joseph, he's on an expiring deal. There was rumors that he was, you know, they were trying to trade him around the deadline, just couldn't find a suitor. So his days in Pittsburgh might be numbered, but they need to find something out for that first pairing because Ryan Graves ain't it. And Chris Letang, the way that he played over the last couple of weeks, injured or not, that ain't it. If he's healthy and plays better, who knows? We'll never know if he would perform better if he wasn't dealing with those injuries. That's just the name of the game. But at the end of the day, he struggled down the stretch. Part of it might be the injuries. Part of it might be who he played with. Part of it might just have been, you know, he's 37 years old, and while he is the most physically fit defenseman at 37 years old that you could probably find, an 82-game season is hard to get through. So all those factors led to what I believed was a rather underwhelming final month of the season for Chris Letang. You might disagree. Let me know in the comments. And don't forget, we are doing the Jager bobblehead giveaway. I'll continue to say it at the beginning and end of every single episode because I'm excited. I'm excited to give away this bobblehead. Once again, just make sure you subscribe here, screenshot that, leave it under the pinned tweet at Iceberg Podcast on Twitter. Other ways to enter, you can find that in the pinned tweet, so I'll just leave it up to that. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Iceberg to Go, excuse me. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And remember, you can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins or anywhere you get your podcasts from.